The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
Love talking to you, Webb. My guy.
Yeah, JJ. JJ is, that's just a good, look, I want to be absolutely 100% clear as we talk about competitions and whatnot. Understand, and I make it a point to not inject the whole personal relationship side into this. I promise you I don't do that.
Yeah, and when we have the conversations about, like, JJ, you were at his camp, and so you're not talking about the other quarterback. It's not because of you're excluding or
right.
It's just in the right. That drop happened to be, if Cade had a drop like that, we would play that one too, right? It just happens to be you were at his camp. It's a cool drop. And I know there are these dividing lines, you know, that are forming and people are on, I want this quarterback, I want that quarterback. You and I have been very clear from the beginning. We want the best quarterback.
Yeah, look, and here's what I know.
I just think it's a cool drop.
This is what I know about JJ, to be very clear. If he loses, if he's in a quarterback battle and Cade's just better. He just gets beat. Okay.
It's going to make him work harder.
Yeah, it's going to make him work harder.
Sensibly, following the rules that Dr. Tom Howes gave him,
yeah,
but he's going to work
you
harder.
You won't see him. He won't be one of those guys that immediately I'm in the portal. He's not that guy. He's not that dude.
I kind of said when you talk about one, it's not talking about the other, because I wanted to bring up what JJ is doing. Like, his Dunkin' Donuts thing is the newest one. He's partnering with Dunkin' Donuts, and I know it was like iced coffees the other day, like a dollar to whatever, wherever you bought your Dunkin' Donuts, it was a dollar to your local children's hospital that Dunkin' Donuts is doing, right? JJ, for the kids, he's been doing that stuff with his NIL t-shirt and hat and whatnot at MDN for a while. He made donations all season long to Mott and the children's hospital in Chicago, and I think he made donations at like road venues too when Michigan played on the road at the children's hospitals there. Someone like that, generally speaking, I'm going to generalize, but someone that's 18, 19, 20 years old that has that kind of mentality isn't a duck and run kind of kid if you lose. This is a kid that is in it for, he wants to be here. He wants to do all these different things and accomplish certain things, and he's going to put in the work to do it, and he's going to earn his right to do it. He just seems like that kind of kid. You obviously know him a lot better than I do. I've, just in conversations and in his actions, nothing about football, right? This is not a football conversation. I just like the kid because he seems like a really
good dude.
Grounded, good kid, right? And again, that's why I said our conversation this right now has nothing to do with anybody else on the football team. It's not a comparison conversation. Right. It is purely about, because the Dunkin' Donuts thing came out after the camp. So it's even fresher than you going to his camp and talking to him on Sunday.
Right. And none of you know, including his teammates and his NIL, that doesn't mean you should have the job.
Right.
That
football versus non-football are two totally separate things. I'm looking at a kid who is a sophomore in college that is so far beyond mature how I know I was and most of my friends are or were and probably still might be at that age versus that age. And maybe, Tim, I wasn't mature at 25 or 35, right? Like, he's, and so when you hear him give, you know, when I heard him talk about the Dunkin' Donut thing or some of him talking about his teammates with the NIL, like all those different things that you hear him talk about makes him a great teammate, makes him a great leader. Those do things added into other parts of the conversation. It's not the football part, and he still has to win it in the football part. I want to highlight the other part for a moment because he's generated thousands of dollars for children's hospitals so far in his college career. That in itself, he's a mensch.
Yeah, he gets.
It. He gets it, right? He gets what it's about.
Yeah, he gets the magnitude of the position. And I'm not saying that you know, this is all performative. I think he's just a good, I mean, this is just who he is. It happens to also contribute to having all of the qualities of leadership that you like to see, especially in a quarterback, right? Now, again, that doesn't mean you should have the job, especially when you're competing against a guy who quarterbacked the team to a Big Ten championship. So, again, I want to make it clear that as they engage in battle when the fall camp starts, right? That, you know, all of this stuff that's happening off the field, that doesn't vault you. That doesn't make him the guy, nor does reputation. Reputation doesn't make you the guy.
No, that's just that wins you an election or a popularity contest. Yeah, that's it.
Potential doesn't make you the guy. You got to go beat that guy. And the same thing for Cade. I don't think that just being the Big Ten, being a quarterback of last year's Big Ten championship team, while certainly is a huge, huge feather in the cap, that doesn't automatically make you the guy this year. Both guys have to be on a higher level, and I expect that they will be.
Sam, remember the old Smith Barney commercials? That's what popped in my head, the tagline at the end, because what's the tagline? They earn it.
Mm-hmm.
And these guys have to go out, and what's on their resume in the past is now in the past. And it's a part of what you are, but there's no question that whoever, they have to go out there, not he, they have to go out there and earn their playing time. They have to earn their snaps. And that is what makes this a great competition. We've had competitions where you're like, no offense to Sheridan 3, but we've had quarterback competitions where you're like, do we have a quarterback?
Right.
Like, we're pretty confident that the quarterback position is pretty solid. Like, this is not about, can they find a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, look.
That year, it was about, can you find a quarterback to get through a year, which obviously they didn't really. So this is different, but they do have to go out and earn their snaps versus each other, and it's going to be a wildly fun competition.
You know, I hope that this winds up being a Clemson scenario. I mean, I don't envy Jim in that regard, having to make that call, right? Because if you have to make that call, you know, someone in that mix is playing well enough to be a winning quarterback. But you are comparing at that point. If both guys are performing at a reasonably high level, then it becomes a question of ceiling and potential. I hope Michigan finds itself in that position, because that means your quarterback play is at an exceptionally high level. And that, you know, if the result winds up being anywhere close, right, then we're in a pretty good position watching Michigan likely back in the college football playoff. Because that was the scenario. And again, I'm not a huge Dabo Swinney fan or guy. And I remember thinking at that time, like, man, I just don't know about this. I mean, you're sitting down a guy who won. He won you the ACC title. He took you to the playoff. He's playing reasonably well. You can't sit that guy down. Kind of stuff is this, right? He didn't lose the job, but the point was, and now you can certainly say in retrospect, the other guy was performing and about the same level, and you felt like over the course of time, the ceiling at the position and therefore the offense was going to be higher, and eventually that wound up being the case. I hope Michigan finds itself in that position to have that kind of debate going on, and I imagine it'll be one that goes into the season, as you heard us talk about before, right? So definitely want to make it clear, though, I do not inject that into the equation, sort of the personal connection and relationships into the mix, into the conversation. Hey, man, even when it comes to the critiquing, that's why, whether it's I'm talking to Jack or Al or Vance, Devin especially, I'm like, look, man, let's just make the conversations that we have, the assessments that we have, let's make them fair. Let's make them fair assessments, because, you know, I think the guys, especially the guys I have relationships with, I always make it a point to make them understand, look, man, I'm always going to be fair. I make it a point to be fair to you. No one likes to be criticized. No one likes to be criticized, period. But if it's fair, they will accept it. Right. And so that was the thing. I mean, it's not like we didn't have critical moments of JJ last year. We did. We absolutely did. And the response is, OK, that was fair. That was fair. That was now That's not always the response we got from different guys, right? They weren't all like, that was fair. But that wasn't because we weren't. That's because no one likes to be criticized. But, you know, so guys like JJ were like, okay, I get it. I get it. You know, that was, you know, I do. There are some things that I need to do, whether it's JJ or his fam. That was fair. And that's what you strive for, to have honest assessments that hit the mark, that at the same time, the people that you are offering the critiques of, and this is where having coaches and players be a part of it too, that helps you to have the more on-point assessments of what's going on the field.
You know, quite, first of all, terminology does matter, so you don't make it sound like it's a personal, right? Like if these personal, like if a guy it makes does. A bad play, like if a guy makes a bad play, you right. don't, like, oh, what an idiot. Like certain things that you don't it's say, right. like you have to, you don't want to make, it's, people make mistakes. We all make mistakes. You forget a meeting. They all happen, right? There's a reason why our cars say the back seat just got unbuckled. Is there a kid back there? Like, you know, people make mistakes, and you have, you know, technology to help you not make these similar mistakes. You will see that if a quarterback takes 75% of the snaps, he'll probably get 75% of the comments, right? Because you're mm-hmm. getting, you know, of the whether it's positive or negative, you take more reps, you get more comments. But I think that when those comments come from someone that has coached it, and even more so when it's someone that has done exactly what they're doing now, it does hit you in a different way than if it's just some random guy off the street that's telling you that, oh, you screwed up this read because of whatever, and someone else go like, how do you even know? But when you get someone that played those games and took those hits and, you know, went through all those practices and everything else and said, this is what you should have done. And, oh, by the way, I made that same mistake 10 times too, mm-hmm. right? It does come across different. One comes across as a know-it-all fan, essentially, and the other comes across as someone that's been there, done that, and learned from his mistakes.
Yeah, that was the biggest leap for us last year. When we first started working with Al, you know, it took the analysis, obviously, to another level. Ran into Mike Martin over the weekend. Mike was like, hey, man. This is real interesting what you got going on. So you're hearing that Ryan English called me over the weekend as well. He said, man, when I retire, we're doing that. We're doing that. And by the way, they think they have a good chance in the West. But point being, you know, the analysis piece, having people that are experienced in the field, not only helps you see the game from a different vantage point. The receptiveness of the critique is different too. It's not universal. No coach. I mean, coaches even. Even if it's fair, a lot of them like, man, want to hear that. But that's why Al is the perfect example of why being fair is important. We were critical of Al. We were absolutely critical of Al Borges. But you know what? We were fair.
I've brought this example up many times. The last interview you did with Al before he was let go, you asked him a question about that, the halfback option pass in the Notre Dame game. Mm-hmm. And you asked, like, what was your thought process why you called that play? And he went through and gave you a very thoughtful answer why he went and called that play. And you had a follow-up from some listener or a lead reader or whatever it was saying, why did he make such a stupid play call? You actually asked the exact same question, but one's going to get an answer, thoughtful, and a future relationship that you find out, right, that can bring things.
Hey, man.
And the other one's going to get end of interview, and I'm never talking to you again. But it is actually the same question. What's this line about bees and honey versus, right?
Like, yeah. And look, I make no bump. I love Al. That's like my dude, like my guy. I love the dude.
I can confirm based on conversations with Al that it's a mutual love fest.
Yeah, but that's my guy. But that doesn't mean that you don't offer criticism. It's all in the way you do it. It has to be fair.
Right. He's writing a new book, right? Mm-hmm. The book's coming out in August. And I told him, I said, you know, I've done it with John and whatnot. I go, I'm not as familiar with all of your content, but I'm a trained journalist. Like, I can be an editor, and I obviously know football. So if you want me to read it just to make sure to find all the things that your eyes deceive you or whatever. And if I came back to him and I said, these couple paragraphs are kind of confusing. You think you could? And I explained to him why I think it's a little confusing for the reader. Maybe he should reshuffle it a little, you know, rewrite it a little bit. I'm not saying this happened, but if that did, he's not going to come back to me like, bleep you. He's going to say, okay, like, you know, I'm going to read that. That's good. Because you don't go to him and be like, Al, this is stupid. This doesn't make any sense. Why would you put this in there?
I would say that now.
Fine, you might.
But as I go in the book,
I'm not going to go, Al, this is the dumbest thing anybody's ever written. I don't quite understand this. They may actually be the two similar sentiments, but you're going to get different responses.
Right.
One's going to get you a smack upside the head, right?
Literally.
And the relation, and the fact is that by, I don't know, as Lloyd talked to you years ago, you can be critical as long as you can say it to their face.
Exactly. That was the biggest lesson Lloyd taught me.
And if you learn that lesson, and I know people in this business, thankfully not in this building, but I know people in this business that don't know that lesson because they never leave a glass enclosed studio so they can say whatever they want and feel no repercussions. But if you do that, you're going to get the most honest stuff back, right? Years later, you're going to have a conversation with Ryan English. He's going to give you some real juicy stories about Jai Eugene, right? Not if you trashed him at some point when he was here. He had a bad game or two.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the Ball State game. We did, and he owns it, right? But you talk about it in a polite, respectful way.
Mm-hmm.
You get relationships back. Same thing with Al. If you would ask Al something else about that play or about that game or something, you may not have an offensive analyst breaking down football for you. It's just how it works.
More importantly to me, that wouldn't be my guy.
He's a good dude. He's just a good dude. He's just a good dude. I agree.
Super good dude.
When we bumped into him at Gracie's softball game, it's great to just shout the word numbnuts and he responds because it's his turn for you. But he knew the word was for him. It got his attention.
Yeah, he'll be back this year. Vance will be back this year. Vance is chomping at the bit as well. Devin, the whole crew, and maybe some attention. Man, it was funny after last year, the number of guys that were like, man, I want to do something like that. It's like, boy. There aren't enough days in the week, especially, or enough hours in a day, because that takes a lot of time. That takes a lot of time. And the only thing that makes it worth it is that the reception, the response. I mean, people ate it up. So we'll be back. We'll be back with that. Want to shift gears to the here and now, some sad and somber news. We'll get to it in detail on the other side. But, sort of a sports icon, right? Because of the movie he was in. Ray Liotta passed away.
I think as much as he is, everyone thinks that Goodfellas first. I do. I'm a sports guy. This is a sports show, but I love Field of Dreams. That
movie
resonated with me and my dad for when I was a kid. Saw it in the theater back then.
I didn't see it in a theater, but we saw it on Beta.
Wow.
Betamax. Yeah, it was.
We had a corded remote quality. For our Betamax. We had a corded remote for our Betamax.
I mean, the videos were higher quality than VHS tapes. I don't know the reason why. I don't know the technology behind it.
I think they were smaller, and they might have been. I don't know the full technology, but there was something about the size.
But they didn't. They weren't as. I mean, there weren't as many. I mean, VHS
took
was
over.
Ubiquitous. I mean,
yeah,
you, they were just.
We had a Betamax too. My first Betamax movies were Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back.
Oh yeah, you were. That's like the HD of the day, right? That was like the HD of the day. Betamax tapes, and so that's how I saw Field of Dreams. And so it's like, okay,
he's Joe Jackson.
Loved it so much, Ira. That we hooked the VHS. So when rented it on VHS, it just probably should have been the other way around. Probably should have got the Betamax and dubbed it to VHS. But we wanted the highest quality recording we could get. And it, for some reason, we figured it was put the VHS on, get a high quality VHS tape, which they recorded those on EP, I think. And then hook it to the Betamax and dub it.
Yeah, and then and when you go to watch it back, you have to check the, I don't know the name of the term of it anymore. You have to, because it wouldn't have the lines in it, and you would roll the little knob to kind of get the screen to be a little better clarity.
Yeah, we always dubbed in Beta. And I can't tell you how many times I saw Field of Dreams. I cannot tell you.
If you build it.
How many times I saw that movie. I mean, James Earl Jones was great in that film. Ray Liotta was
come,
great.
People will come, Ray. People will come.
And James Earl Jones, he just walked into the cornfield and never came back. Never came back. And somehow that wasn't sad. That was like great, right? It was great. So anyway, we got to get to a break. We'll be back on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.